Thank you for joining us today on the Reach Community Church podcast. We hope this week's message encourages and blesses you as we dive into God's Word together. Our mission at Reach is to see lives changed by Christ together in community by loving God, loving people, and reaching our world. We'd love to have you join us next Sunday. You can learn more about our mission at reachcommunitychurch.com.
If you haven't met me, my name is Heath, pastor here at Reach. And last week, we spent some time in Romans 10, mostly working through the idea that salvation and righteousness is not coming from us. It's not coming from our work, our effort, our energy, but it's coming from the work, the finished work of Jesus on the cross, and our life dedicated to that, surrendering to that truth, is what leads us into that life. We don't earn it. We don't deserve it. So with that in mind, if that is the way that people experience and discover Jesus, if he is the way, the truth, and the life, we should do everything in our effort, and that's what we talked about last week, to communicate that to people. We should share the reality of who Jesus is to people so that they can know him. That's why we evangelize, share our faith. So today, I want to continue along with kind of a little step in that journey with Jesus, building on this foundation of the truth of the gospel. So the big idea today is it makes a difference how and what you build. This goes into what I was talking about with the church, understanding your church. So take care how you build. See, this week we get the importance, or a reminder of the importance, that what you do after these moments, after the yes, I trust and believe in Jesus, matters. If you've grown up in the South, in the Bible Belt, there's kind of this misconception that as long as we have this moment with Jesus, we're fine. And I'm not saying earning your salvation, I'm not saying any of that, but I'm just saying that if your concept of following Jesus is having one moment, one point in your life saying, yes, I want you to be my Savior so I go to heaven and not to hell, but you choose to live contrary that for the rest of your life, we're missing the point. So building on that foundation of Jesus is our righteousness, and trusting and believing in him makes us into the people that we want. We should be becoming better people. And I say this as a conviction to myself. I turned 30, not that I'm 30, but my faith turned 30. I'm 48. Just I don't want to confuse anybody. I got saved in 1994, so I've been walking with Jesus for 30 years. But the hope is the me when I was 18 is different than the me now. And the you that said yes to Jesus, whenever that was, you should be progressing in your understanding and knowledge of who Jesus is, and it should be changing us so that we're walking out that grace through faith in how we live. And we should be hungry to be in his word, to see the things that he's calling us to live in and like. And so this week, we're going to jump into 1 Corinthians chapter 3. But before we get there, let's pray. Oh, Father, Lord, you are a good and gracious dad. And your heart is not that we would be weak and immature, but your heart is that we would be strong and secure as you, as our Father. And so, Lord, today as we talk about building onto that foundation, as we look through this image of Paul talking to a church that's struggling with things that they shouldn't be struggling with, Lord, I pray that we would see the grace of walking in a way that is not only pleasing to you, but Lord, that is changing us. Lord, would you help us see that our best life is with you, regardless of how chaotic it may be at times. Living in that place of trust and surrender with you is always going to lead us to more and better life. Lord, we love you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you've been reading along with us in the one-year Bible, you're in the mix, and you're far enough into Corinthians that you really realize that they're a weird church. So Corinth was started on one of Paul's missionary journeys. It's, if you want to read about it, it's in Acts 18. And Paul, and I don't know, I could get the statistic wrong, but I think this is one of the longest places Paul spent ministering to the gospel. A lot of them, he would come in, he'd preach, stay for a short period of time, and he would go to another one. He spent 18 months, which I know doesn't sound like a long time, but like in this early stages, they were going from city to city, 18 months preaching the gospel, showing them how to live. And then he leaves to continue on his missionary journey. And then he gets word that the church is going a little cuckoo. And then he needs something. And these letters were written to the leaders of the church to deal with the issues. And so it's broken into lots of things. The first section where this is coming out of, chapters 1 through 4, is dealing with division. And then after that, it deals with sex. And let me just not to be weird or whatever, but this is in the Bible. But his issue of writing this church is that one of their members, one of their people in the church, is like having relations with his stepmom. Like Jerry Springer didn't start it. Like it had been going on forever. I just dated myself. Like how many young people in here had no idea who Jerry Springer is? Gosh. I used to be so cool and hip. And so he's writing this letter dealing with this reality of like, man, they're fighting over food. They're fighting over who does what. And that's what this letter is to challenge and shake them back to the reality of we got to be anchored in the truth and we got to build on that truth, not this other thing that it's just okay. And they were, and if you think our culture is bad, and I know I'm dating myself also, but I didn't grow up with a cell phone, didn't have one until I was a junior in college, and it was not, like, it was a flip phone. I don't even know if you could text back then. This was in 95 or 96. First phone. And so, like, I know in our culture, like, we're just like, man, we're being bombarded. And we talked about this last week, that we cannot blame what's going on outside of us for how we're responding inside, because the culture's always been there. And in Corinth, they had temples literally dedicated to other foreign deities that part of their worship, you would go and have sex with a prostitute. That's what he deals with in that place. It was like, you know, our body is the temple of God. He's dealing with that. And so here he's starting with the reality of divisions. And really, the divisions are, I'm going to call them different churches. So you have different pastors, and you have groups of people that like this pastor over another pastor. And so that's where we're picking up verse 1 in chapter 3. And it's titled Divisions in the Church. It says, verse 1, it says, "But I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ." This is not polite. He's like, you guys are babies. Like, I should be able to write to you as mature believers, but I'm having to write to you as children. He's addressing those who are stuck in this rut that are because of ignorance or willful disobedience, deciding to live contrary. Instead of living towards the Spirit and with the Spirit, they're living according to their flesh. Verse 2, it says, "I fed you with milk, not with solid food, for you were not ready for it, and even now you are not ready, for you are still in the flesh." See, Paul is not judging their immaturity because of their infancy. So he fed them milk at the beginning because that is the understanding. When Paul was going there and preaching the gospel, he's not going, "Hey guys, like you should act better," because they didn't know any better. But he's training them and teaching them with the spiritual milk, but the understanding in here that we have to get. Our maturity should increase in Christ. And Paul's writing to a people that their maturity, they started with Christ and then they just stayed there. And let me just give you this understanding. If you're here and thinking that all you have to do is put something in that box, so that's where you put your tithes and offering, that beautiful, looks like a toolbox. Put something in that box, you have to attend and sit in this service for an hour and 15 minutes and then maybe serve somewhere and then you're good. And then outside of here, you can live any way that you want. That's where I grew up. I grew up in central North Carolina, and I had family that would, man, they looked good. They wore suits and ties, and they would sit on the same pew every Sunday, and they would live like hell the rest of the week. And this is what Paul's trying to deal with. Is like, look, that you've missed something. If you're a weak person, and I don't mean weak, I mean W-E-E-K, like during the week, the person who you are during the week is different than the person you are on Sunday morning. You've missed the point. See, we should be maturing. We should be growing. It says, for while there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh, having only, are behaving only in a human way? So he's getting ready to get into their like of different people, different preachers. So how does your lack of maturity show up? Theirs was showing up with jealousy and strife. Later on, in Corinthians, there's this one verse that's always hit me, and this is for free, not even in my sermon today. But I may not get to preach it this time, so let me just give you a little bit. Later on, they're dealing with lawsuits among believers. So you have an issue with a friend of yours in church. And instead of going to the elders or the church or settling it as mature Christians, like, let's fix this, they're going to non-Christian judges to be judged. And Paul makes this statement that is just, it's, I don't know how many years that this just like wrecked me. He said, it is better that you would be wrong or defraud. It's better that you lose money and face than the name of Jesus be messed with. But we don't think that. So he's saying, hey, maturity is when you can handle being mistreated without taking that mistreatment and then wounding someone else or hurting someone else or making Christianity look bad, which we do all the time. And that's what social media is. Social media is just basically like, I'm going to fly the flag of Jesus, but I'm going to be a horrible person. Not everybody. Some of you are like, I quote Jesus all the time and I'm nice. Okay, then you're great. But a lot of people use it differently. They want to wound and they're showing their maturity. Because if someone says something to you and that hurts you enough to where you do something that you knew you shouldn't, with whether it's words that you say or how you say it, or you start attacking people personally instead of dealing with the issue that's being talked about, see, they're showing their immaturity. And this is what he's talking about specifically. In verse 4, it says, and when one says, I follow Paul, and another says, I follow Apollos, are you not merely being human? See, Paul explains what we're talking about. Like, my church is better than yours. One of the reasons from the beginning that we've always prayed for other churches in our community is because I want people, when they come in here, to not think that Reach is the only church that does it right. And we do some things right, and we do some things not so good. That's every church. There is not a perfect church. Let me tell you how you can guarantee that you've walked into a church that's not perfect. There's people in it. There's a pastor who's a human being. They're not perfect. So we want, and they're like, oh, I'm better. And we get this. We're like, you know, like, you got to come to my church. Or, you know, like, you just ain't getting it right. And Paul's like, you've missed the point. See, their mission, Apollos isn't saying, Apollos isn't there like, you should worship me, you should only come to my, only follow my teaching. Paul is definitely not saying that. He's saying, hey, the central figure is Jesus. It's not about us. In verse 5, it says, and when, what is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you believe. They're just servants. They're not the message. They're not the king. They're not the savior. As the Lord has assigned each, I planted, Paul, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. See, Paul isn't even here, he could have been like, I did more, whatever that looked like. I did more than Apollos. He puts him and Apollos, which we would say Paul wrote a, you know, inspired words from God, a large percentage of our New Testament. it would be easy for Paul to be like, I'm better than Apollos. I mean, of course, like, why is this even an argument? Like, I'm better. He doesn't do that. He puts him and Apollos on the same plane. I planted, he'd watered. And if you're, you know, an agriculturalist, you need both of those. If there's no seed in the ground, it will not grow. And I'm not talking about weeds, but I'm talking about a, you know, something you want to harvest. If there's no seeds in the ground, it will not grow. And if there's no water, which I know here lately, we have no issue with that. You have plenty of water, probably too much water. But he puts it on here, but he puts the onus, and this is what you need to understand in part of the text today. Your growth will not come because you want it. Or because, let me just tell you, you could make growth about reading your Bible every day, which you should. You could make growth about saying prayers every day. You could make growth about, and fill in the blank, and you could do all those things, and I'm gonna make a connection here. You could do all those things and miss Jesus. There's a lot of people, and this is part of the ministry I feel like God's called me to, there's a lot of people that have walked into church their entire life, and they've missed Jesus. And you're like, how can? The church does not save you. Your proximity on Sunday morning does not give you access to heaven. Your trust and faith, confessing that Jesus is Lord and Savior, is what gets us into heaven. And see, we could look at the same story through the New Testament and the Gospels. The Pharisees did it all. They read, memorized. They memorized their entire Bible. Memorized. So like, I have to look down here and read the next section of Scripture that we're going through because I have not memorized the whole Bible. They didn't have that. They could just recall, oh, this is this, and they had all the connections. They gave, I mean, Jesus fought with them. He was like, you gave these things. You tithed these things, but you missed this other thing. See, we can do all the things that seem like we're a good, solid, Bible-believing Christian and not be. I mean, Jesus, in the Gospels, had people coming up to him saying, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name. We raised the dead. We did all these things. We healed the sick, cast out demons. And he's like, I don't know who you are. See, we got to be very cautious that we're not attributing our work, because we need the Holy Spirit. If you want to grow in this, if you want to catch anything from today, you better lean into the surrender part of Jesus. Listen to this in 1 Corinthians. Paul is he's re-saying something he already stated here in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 11. It says, for it has been reported to me by Chloe's people, come on, that there is quarreling among you, my brothers. What I mean is that each one of you says, I follow Paul, or I follow Apollos, or I follow Cephas, which is Peter, or I follow Christ. Is Christ divided? And he was like, well, people are saying, oh, I follow this guy, or I follow this guy. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? No, he was not. Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? No, he was not. See, the church and its pastors are just tools to build faith and make much of God. See, one of the reasons I think it's so devastating when pastors fail miserably, which there's been a lot over the last few years, very public, big-name people, that affairs and all this other stuff, stealing money, you don't have to look far to be like, man, flawed people leading people. But I think a lot of the reason why people lose faith when their pastor or someone they admire fails in those ways is because they've built their life and faith around this person. Look, you cannot build your life and faith around me because I will fail you. Hopefully not in those regards, but at some point I may walk by because I'm thinking about, oh, is the baptism bowl going to run overflow when I fill it up this morning? And I always feel like if you see me in the morning before setup, like I've got something else on my brain. And I feel like he walked by, he didn't even say hello. Like, and you know me, if you've been around me, I'm nice. I like saying hello to people. I like talking to people. If I walk by you, it's not because I have something, an issue with you. It's because I am thinking about that thing's about to overflow. And we need to be careful that we're putting our faith in the right thing. This is why we're pushing you to read the Bible. This is why we're pushing you to build and grow in your relationship, because the more solid you are in who you know you are in Christ, the more you can handle the storm that is coming. Look at this, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. It says, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people of his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." This is his hope. See, Paul's dealing with childish things with people when he's hoping that that's what you get, that you're thinking, "I'm a chosen race, a royal priesthood. I have a role and responsibility that exceeds what I'm doing right now." So verse 7, it says, "For neither he who plants or he who waters is anything." Paul's included in that. "But only God who gives the growth." See, our goal is not to have you follow us. Our goal is to have you learn how to follow Jesus. Paul says it this way in Corinthians. It says, "Be imitators of me so as I am of Christ." So he's saying, follow me, but only follow me as I'm following Jesus. Verse 8. It says, "He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor, for we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building." Yeah. Hello, fields. Hello, buildings. He's describing that because those have purpose. Fields grow things, crops that feed people, buildings shelter people, but they have to be built correctly. If they're not built well, the building that you may go in for shelter may fall on top of you. If you don't garden well, if you don't irrigate well, you may not have anything to eat at the end of your labors. Verse 10, it says, "According to the grace of God given me, I, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation and someone else has built upon it." Listen to this, and this is where my title came from today. Let each one take care how he builds upon it. See, the first thing is we have to make sure that we're building on the right foundation. Are you trusting in the right Jesus? Because depending on what church you go to, all words don't mean the same thing. I don't know if you've caught this in our culture, but like Jesus and people's perspective of Jesus is not always the same Jesus. So we have to make sure that we're following the right Jesus and then we have the right foundation, because if we build, I have two houses. We've lived in the same house for 12 years since we moved here, and we had two vacant lots across from us for the last 12 years. They've been vacant. I thought they were going to be vacant for now to ever. And they're building two monster houses on there. They're cleared. It's like they're about to pour the foundations. But could you imagine? And I'm not angry at all. I'm like happy. There's two more people that I get to meet and say, "Hey, neighbors." But they're gonna pour a foundation. Like if you live here in the coastal Carolinas, most of your houses are on a slab. But could you imagine if they poured the foundation, the slab, and they did all the work that is necessary to build, but they built the house like half on, half off? You know, thankfully they have plan that makes sure that they connect. Like this is where the house is and this is where the foundation, this is where it gets bolted down. But if it's not built on the foundation, it will not survive. It will not weather the storm. For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Listen to this in Ephesians 2, verse 19. It says, "So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the cornerstone." We're going to make sure that we have the foundation correct. "In whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit." Your growth It is, and I don't mean when I told you earlier it's not on you. It is on you to an extent, but if it's on you without connection to the Spirit, you may lead it into a wrong area. We have to be willing to connect in the morning and saying, God, I've told this to you guys, we should be very rarely opening our Bibles without first asking God to speak to us. And I know, you've heard me. You got to read that one in your Bible. You got to read that one in your Bible. And some days you just go, like, I got to read this one in your Bible. And you just read it. But we want God to interact with us through it. We need God to help us build correctly. Verse 12, it says, now if anyone builds on a foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or straw, each one's work will be manifest. On the day we'll disclose it, because it will be revealed, look at this, by fire. And the fire will test what sort of work each one does. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burnt up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. No one wants that. You just got in, buddy. Like, you skated in, you just slid in, you didn't bring anything with you because it all burned up because you built with the wrong materials. See, what you build with matters. Matthew 7, and this is, which we didn't end up like we potentially could with Debbie. Everybody say hey to Debbie. Debbie! Goodbye, Debbie! Although I hear there might be another one coming our way. Hello, coastal community. Matthew 7, starting in verse 24. It says, everyone who hears the words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock, on the slab. And the rains fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. But it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. You have to have that foundation correct. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them and does not do them will be like a foolish man who builds his house on the sand. And the rains fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against that house and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Thankfully, your house survived and was built well and made it through the storm. But our spiritual life is the same. We have to make sure that we build well because the storm is coming. See, this day will disclose it. I think that's actually talking about the return of Jesus, the end, when at one point all of us will be held accountable for what we do. But I believe that Jesus is so gracious. You're not going to like what I'm getting ready to say. He is so gracious that he allows little storms. They don't feel little, but they are little compared to the end, because the end, there is no more. There's just the end, and we are held accountable. But like when there's little storms, we get to decide what are we going to do with it. See, he allows these things to test us so that we can fix our flaws. How idiotic would it be for you that after Debbie and all the rain that we have, you had a leak, small leak in your roof, but you knew that it was coming from somewhere on your roof because you saw it on your sheetrock in your house, and you're like, no big deal. It's just a little leak. And you did nothing with it. Well, the next one the same, and then mold and all these other things that happen as you ignore it, and it's the same in our spiritual life. When God shows you a flaw, and you're like, what is that flaw? When's the last time you lost your cool? When's the last time you said something that you regretted? When was the last time you did something that you regretted? When was the last time that you consumed something that you know that you shouldn't? Whatever, fill in the blank. And you know, gosh, something happened, you got caught in a lie or something. It's God saying, hey, you know how that feels? When you had that moment where you're like, this thing got exposed, and you're like, oh, I don't want that feeling anymore. It's like that leak in your house. You need to go and fix the leak. Find where it's coming from. We had a little leak in our roof not too long ago, and we thought that it was coming from the flashing on our, we have a chimney on our house. We thought it was coming from there. It wasn't coming from there. It was coming from, we had this fly-by-night company replace the topper on our fireplace, and they put the wrong one on it. They did not do a great job installing it, and so it was leaking through that, down my chimney, into our room. So we hired a company to come out there and fix it because it had been leaking, and we thought, man, I was like, I don't know. I thought it was this one thing, and he got up there, and he took the siding off of our chimney, and he's like, oh, no. And, like, the whole side of my chimney was, like, rotten, wet, because it had been leaking. And he was like, I don't know who put this in, but this is wrong. Like, thanks. But you know what? We had a good company come and replace our topper, all stainless steel, put on the right one. We had him replace the wood that was messed up on that, fix the leak, replace another piece where the water had touched. He fixed all this. And you know what? And this was like 2 years ago. We've not had any leaks since. That's what our spiritual life should look like. We have a leak. We investigate where the leak is coming from. And then when we find out what the leak is, we fix it. And so this may be personal stuff. This may be stuff that's going on in your life. But if God keeps showing you this thing that's hurting you or others and you're aware of it and you feel like, man, I don't want this to happen. You know, that conviction that God's given you, don't ignore that. This is what the building on the foundation is like as you're building, you're like, man, there's a weakness in this place and I need to fix that. Don't ignore what God's doing. See, growth and maturity on your end isn't optional. If you're a disciple and you're following Jesus, here's the idea. Is you find the real Jesus and you follow. It's one of the reasons I've started to make sure that in my communication up here, I'm not just saying the word Christian. Because Christian is kind of a box that we check in the like national survey, and that doesn't really mean anything. Because Christians follow Jesus. And I've said this enough, not to like condemn you, but to convict you. If you're not following Jesus, you may not be a Christian. Because that's what it is. He's calling people to be his disciples, not for people to identify with him and really steal his identity, because part of the identity that we get when we follow Jesus is who we are in following him. And so my encouragement for you today is our heart is that you would grow and mature. One of the ways that we do that is on Sunday morning. We preach, hopefully, the gospel, hopefully, the truth that transforms you, but we also offer, starting next week, community groups that you can get connected with, that you can learn and grow. If your heart is just to be good enough to make it to heaven, you're missing the greatest opportunity that we have. Because like we saw in the text, there's some people that are gonna skate in. But our heart, because those people skating in probably didn't bring a whole lot of people with them. Our heart is that we would build a foundation of faith that would help us lead other people to that same place. Because you know what? When people see things working in your life, if you've got a good marriage, people that are married, be like, man, this is, let's just say marriage is hard. Amen. Marriage is hard. There's some people that have figured out things about marriage that you haven't, and you're probably like, hey, like I need to get to know this couple because they've got things that I don't. And that's what this life is we should be looking around the church going, what do I need? And when you see the small groups that are being signed up for, I encourage you to connect with them because that's part of this journey. So how is your spiritual maturity? Are you still in the sippy cup phase? Don't want to spill it? And there's a lifesavers if you have little kids. I don't know if you noticed our announcement. Abigail, I mean, she had a kid. I don't know if you saw that. Like we're four children here. She even led worship one Sunday with One of our guest buddies was here, and he was like, "You had a lady up there with a kid on her. Wow, she's leading worship." And he you know, pointed out, and he was like, "Yes! Like, we should be leading this way. We should be moving away from the sippy cup into the meat of God." But if you settle for it, and you can, because our culture is constantly saying, "Come back to me. Come back to me. I'll give you what you want. I'll give you what you want." See, where are you building with gold, silver, and precious stones? Where are you building with things that you know are going to last? And where are you building with hay, straw, and wood? Think about the three little pigs. Three little pigs? Yes. Okay. Right when I said that, I was like, this little piggy. Think about those pigs. You want brick. You want things that are going to last. And if you know, man, I'm just building with these things that aren't going to last, do something about it now. Here's the beauty of the God that we serve. He is ever merciful. If you're reading, he can bend the hearts of kings, pagan kings, to rebuild his temple. He can bend the hearts of people outside to work for them. I'm going to invite our worship team up, and I want to say this. Today is the only day that you can get the work done. Today is the only day that you have. Think about it. There's no DeLoreans out there, Back to the Future reference, I know, that can go back and change yesterday. So we cannot do anything about yesterday. Now, we can deal with past hurts that we've caused and repent of those things, but we can't go do that work in that day. We can only work in this day. And we're not promised tomorrow. You're not promised tomorrow. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. So today is the day. And so one thing that I do encourage, and one reason why we have a song at the end of our service, is because I believe that God begins to stir things in us. And there's a part of us that's like, I'll deal with it tomorrow. A lot of time tomorrow doesn't come. And I don't mean like you're going to die tomorrow, but I'm saying that decision, like, oh, I'm going to start my workout tomorrow. I'm going to start my diet tomorrow. Tomorrow is an ever elusive thing that you'll never ever experience. So why not today? If it's valuable enough for you today, do something about it today. So we do have at the end of service, there's going to be prayer in the back. We have communion in the back. I encourage you, if there's things going on inside of you, don't leave here with that tension. Whether you settle it yourself during this last song, crying out to the Father, where you go back to the back and have someone pray in agreement with you, but start today. Maturity in Christ will be the greatest gift that you'll give to people around you. Please, no elbows from spouses. Yeah, yeah. But it is the greatest gift that we can give our world is a maturity that God's growing in us. So what does that look like for you today? What are some things that you need to do in your life? That could be, I need to call on the name of Jesus. I need the right foundation. I need to proclaim my trust and faith in him and become a believer. Start the journey today. That could be your work today. Your work today could be like, man, I'm a follower of Jesus, but I've been lackluster and I've not been doing the things that I know I need to be, like being in the Word, like praying, like walking in obedience. Maybe for you, I'm just going to throw this out there. God's been speaking to your heart about getting baptized. Here's a beauty. Here's a beauty for first service. You can go home right after this. Let me know that you're coming back. And you can go get a change of clothes and come back for second service and get baptized and step out in faith through obedience today. Today is the greatest opportunity and the only opportunity you have to walk in faith today. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for your grace and mercy. Lord, I pray that we wouldn't step into condemnation, this ability that we have no chance of fixing it. But Lord, that we would understand that there is always hope and there's always a way when it comes to you. And so, Lord, I just pray for your grace and mercy for those in this room that are either looking at the foundation they do or don't have And I pray for those in this room that don't have a foundation that's built on Jesus, that today they would step in faith, saying, Jesus, I need you. I want you in my life. And for those other brothers and sisters that are already your children, but they're building with hay and wood and straw, Lord, I pray that you would show them the right way. Whether that be stepping into a community group, whether that means starting a mentoring relationship with somebody that they know, whatever that means. Lord, I pray that you would give us a hunger for your word. And when we would read in your word, it would be truth to us. So, Lord, we need you. Lord, I pray that you would, everyone in this room that desires to step in faith, Lord, I pray that you would fill them with the Holy Spirit, that you would empower them to walk in your way and in your path. Lord, we love you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today on the Reach Community Church podcast. We'd love to have you join us next Sunday. You can learn more about our mission at reachcommunitychurch.com.